Now, really, is this USP that big of a deal? Can it really make a dramatic difference in a business?
This is the number one most important thing before you do anything else with a marketing consultancy. You get them to sit down and you figure out what in the world these guys stand for. Because if they can't differentiate themselves, if they don't have a reason they're different, then you can't get the sales scripting, you can't get the copywriting, you can't go to the media, cross-promoting, community marketing, because nobody knows why you're different, why you. So the very first thing you do is you have to say, what's your business stand for? And that's the USP. And that's the basis around all the marketing efforts. So you got to get that defined first.
Hi, this is Michael Senoff. I want to welcome all the HMA consultants to another exclusive interview on the subject of USP. This is an interview with an expert on the subject, Mr. Bill Beaudry. I'm sure after listening to this recording, you're going to have even more clarity on how to develop killer USPs for your clients. Enjoy. Why should these HMA consultants listen to you about this USP? Tell me a little bit about your background and how this whole USP course came along.
Well, Mike, like most marketing consultants, you know, I initially worked in a lot of different fields, finance, healthcare, and things like that, until I settled into the marketing field. And now I do marketing consulting in the U.S., and I also teach it in China at China Fudan University, which is the number one marketing and journalism school over there. But in dealing with most of my clients, the first thing you find out that they have to do is they have to get a handle on what their business is and what's going to set it apart from the competition. And in order to do that, it all focuses on a USP. And there's a big gap in the marketplace on explaining what in the world a USP is. So what I decided to do is spend about 1 or 2 years pulling together all the information out there on what a USP is and how to craft it to make your business very different and unique, and so it can attract customers versus, you know, your pizza stand versus the guy next door. And I put it into the manual, and it's the only manual out there that explains how in the world you actually craft your USP.
And what does USP stand for, and what are some of the other acronyms that you've heard out there for something meaning the same thing?
Well, the term USP stands for Unique Selling Proposition, and it was coined by Rosser Reeves, who was a real big advertising great in the early 1950s and 60s. But a lot of people refer to it as the customer buying advantage because it's what the buying advantage is for the customer to buy from you versus somebody else. Some people just call it USP or unique selling proposition. There's all sorts of terms for it, competitive advantage. Sometimes people just call it your opportunity niche. There's all sorts of terms like that. But basically, it's what sets you apart from other people that, in the customer's viewpoint, is the reason to come to you rather than a competitor. What's the big promise you're going to deliver for them?
Tell me, what's the difference between a powerful USP and a USP that's just not powerful?
Well, a lot of people will just say, we're the best at this, or we're number one at that. We'll use all sorts of just regular terms that don't mean anything to anybody. And so, for instance, I'll use the example of pizza once again, where, you know, you can have a city and it can have 10 or 15 little pizza joints. And why should somebody go to one versus another? Sometimes it's because of the taste, location, or what have you. But sometimes everybody knows, okay, well, this pizza joint does something a little bit different, but that little difference magnifies into a big difference in sales. And what makes a USP great versus just good is something that really taps into what exactly the consumers want. You hit the hot spot of the consumers. It might be just one little word difference in, you know, the advertising or how, you know, your business is presented to the customers. And that one little word difference or two words or three words or the color of your truck or what have you can magnify sales incredibly. And so a great USP is something that has these characteristics that really hit the hot buttons of consumers that really, really draws them in like a magnet. What Rosser Reeves said was the proposition has to be very strong that it can move the mass millions. And he said it has to be a proposition that your competitors cannot offer, you know, and it has to be unique. But people like Doug Hall, who has come up with a book, Jumpstart Your Business Brain, which is probably the best book on the research of the the USP since Rosser Reeves. You know, he's come up with the idea that, you know, you can only really have at most two promises in a USP. And in general, you can't make your USP too complicated because most people, they just want to remember something simple. All right? They don't want to remember anything complicated. They can't. People are inundated with anywhere from 3,000 to 5,000 marketing messages a day. So for your USP to hold and stick, for it to be a sticky USP, it's got to be something that's very, very, very simple, but also it has to sort of hit that hot spot or that sweet spot.
Let's go into some of the characteristics. Number one, your USP must scream a big benefit, overt benefit, ultimate benefit for the customer. Can you expound on that?
Well, the big thing, reason customers come to you is because you're promising them something. So what you have to figure out when you're crafting a USP is, what is it that they want that you're going to supply? And the more overt your benefit, the bigger it is, the more juicy it is, that's what's going to attract more customers versus if you just say, okay, pizza here, if you say, two-for-one pizza, that's a very, very different USP. We've just sort of magnified it because we've put in, you know, for instance, a price advantage for buying over here versus someplace else versus, you know, freshest ingredients pizza. But what you have to do in a USP is you have to figure out what the benefits are that the customers want for that particular business or industry, and you have to figure out what's the biggest benefit you can promise to the customers, and then you make your USP focused around that particular benefit because you're trying to find out what's the honey that's going to make the customers, you know, attracted to you, the bees that are going to come for the honey, what's that particular make of honey or flower. Once you find that and make it as big as possible, that's what's going to be the focus of the USP.
But let's go to number two. Your USP must set you up as being unique and dramatically different from your competitors.
Well, the big thing is most businesses are pretty much the same in one sense. If they don't advertise, if they don't set themselves up as being different, then they're all Me Too companies. For instance, you might have a number of dry cleaners in the city, and if they're all doing the same thing, well, there's no reason to go for one versus the other. You know, it's like Me Too. If two businesses are exactly the same, one of them is redundant. All right. So what you have to do is, you, for whatever business you're consulting for or whatever business you're running, you have to find out some way that makes it stand out as unique and dramatically different. All right. And maybe that's revolutionary twist or new to the world. Reason that, you know, your company or your services are different from other people, because that interest factor is what's going to make people interested and excited to you, okay, to come to you.
Okay.
And, you know, and that's the importance of this.
Your USP must be focused. Don't try to appeal to everyone.
Well, the big thing is a lot of people make the mistake in marketing that you try to appeal to absolutely everyone. It's sort of the shotgun approach. And, you know, especially marketing consultants, though, they quickly find out that that's the worst thing you can possibly do. What you really want to do is don't try to sell to everybody. In fact, there's some customers you don't want. What you want to do is you want to figure out what's the customer segment that you want to focus on, that you want to service, and just target them. All right? It might be 30% of the market or 40% of the market. But if you try to appeal to the entire market, you often end up diluting your message so you don't appeal to anybody at all because you don't stand for anything. So what you really should do is you really should be focused on the service offering as well as the market that you're trying to serve. And don't worry about trying to serve everybody. You usually, when you do niche marketing like this, when you're focused, you usually make, umpteen times the profit, which with much less work and effort.
So give my HMA consultant some advice. They're consultants. So what you're saying, from what I understand, is don't go out there and be a consultant to any business that comes along. Niche yourself and be a consultant for the storage shed industry, or a consultant for swimming pool wholesalers, or a consultant for beauty salons, where you specify that you're an expert marketing consultant consulting only with beauty salons.
Exactly. For instance, I have a friend who does the pool and spa business, and I have another friend, I helped him become a marketing consultant, and he's getting into landscape marketing. So he's producing an entire course on landscape marketing, and that's what's going to be his niche. So rather than appeal to everybody, he'll focus his efforts on becoming the nationwide premier marketing expert for landscaping. And you can do this with all sorts of businesses. I mean, there's a lot of people who are marketing consultants for chiropractors, lawyers, accountants. There's all sorts of fields. I mean, you don't have to pick, you know, the very competitive fields, but there's got to be one or two fields that you really, really like that are missing marketing experts. And if you really like it, get into that field. You'll end up having more fun, more revenues, more free time, less work, more renown than if you're just a regular general consultant. Now, the idea of becoming a general consultant is okay when you're first starting, and there's nothing wrong with that. However, the people who are really successful at it usually have some niche market that they focused on. If you're a general consultant, you're only really, really super duper successful usually in terms of the revenue if you're already famous, a person like a Jay Abraham or what have you, or Dan Kennedy. You know, but it takes lots of years to get to that particular position.
Well, you said something important, and I'm thinking, if I'm going to be specifically a marketing consultant for beauty salons, as I consult and produce results for one, two, or three beauty salons, my plan is already pretty much laid out. So by the time I get my next client, everything's laid out exactly for what that next beauty salon's going to do because I've already done it for the beauty salon industry.
Exactly. And what you can do is you can build on that. In fact, what you can do is, because you've had now experience with two or three of these, you can then, number one, get testimonials, and number two, create an information product for beauty salons and start writing articles and get a reputation for you are the beauty salon consultant that everybody should turn to. And you can have a kit, and you can start selling a kit through the Internet and have passive income that way, which will generate leads. There's all sorts of things you can do. But it all starts with being focused and finding a niche. Not trying to appeal to everybody. Now, granted, when you're just getting started and you have to get your feet wet, you might have to try to appeal to everyone, just see what comes your way. But if you're really, really targeted, all the marketing consultants out there will tell you that's when really things really start to skyrocket.
Okay. Relevancy, relevancy, relevancy is the name of the game, you say.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't make sense in your USP to be trumpeting, you know, something that's not important to people. For instance, you can say, raincoats, we have all the black raincoats in, you know, New York City, more black raincoats than anybody else. Well, people don't care what the color of the raincoats are. It's not really important. It's not a relevant customer concern. So you can't focus on your USP. You can't focus it on something that's not really relevant to the customers. If the customers don't care about it, it's not really something that should be in your USP. There are some things that you care about in your business and you think it's important, but if you champion that as the center of the USP, and it's not important to the customers, you're being misguided with your efforts. What you want to do is, if it's really important to your business, you have to find some way to turn it around so that the customers know that that's important, and then twisting that and bringing it somehow into the forefront of the USP. For instance, let's say you go out when you're sourcing something for a customer, and you go and you check 300 suppliers for one particular product.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I can't think of a, let's say it's a ski thing. Okay, some type of ski boot or whatever. So, you know, what you have to do is you have to, you know, the customer doesn't care how many people you check unless you bring it to the forefront in your advertising and say, for every product we sell, we have evaluated anywhere from 54 to 300 different manufacturers to bring you the top one. Now all of a sudden you've become a consumer buying advocate for these guys and they'll trust your opinion. But you know, generally, you know, if that type of information wasn't important to them, or they don't really care, because maybe it's just a regular commodity, you don't focus on it. But if it is something that's very important, and it makes you different, and it's something that you're doing but the customer doesn't know about, bring that to the surface in the USP, or if not in the USP itself, certainly in your marketing materials in general to help promote your firm.
Great. Short and simple is best. Memorable and easy to understand is what matters.
Yeah. Well, when people have USPs, like I said, they're usually short and snappy. Most people remember the Federal Express USP when it absolutely has to be there overnight. It's usually one or two sentences. If your USP is longer than that, people aren't going to remember it. It's got to be simple enough that people can remember it, understand it, and, you know, and they'll think about one or two words in it, and they just say, oh, that's these guys. They remember it, and they come back to you. If it's very, very complicated, you know, you know, it's not going to be easy to communicate, it's not going to be memorable, and it's just going to fail.
What do you mean by it must be perfumed with credibility?
Well, the big idea is a lot of people don't really realize this with USPs, but today the customer doesn't believe anything, okay, from anybody because they're just inundated with marketing messages. So what you need in your USP, if you can instill it in your USP, is a real reason for people to believe you. So let's take a look at for instance, the good old Domino Pizza's USP and the Federal Express USP. Most people, they talk about these two USPs, but they don't really pick up on this. Now, the Federal Express USP is when it absolutely positively has to be there overnight. And most people don't realize the fact that they repeat it positively, absolutely, put some credibility into that USP. People are like saying, huh, well, yeah, I guess if they said it twice like that, it must really be true. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
That USP is perfumed with some credibility. And the Domino's Pizza is, well, we'll give you the delivery in 30 minutes or less, guaranteed. Now, the credibility factor in that is, number one, is they quoted an exact number of minutes, and it would have been better if they had quoted 31 minutes or 32, because research shows that being specific with the numbers is better than just being general. And then they use the word guaranteed. So in that USP, there's reasons for people actually to believe you. So for instance, when people are doing marketing, let's say copywriting or marketing in general, there's all sorts of ways you try to prove that what you're saying is true. There's endorsements, there's referrals, sworn statements. And Mike, I'm sure you've seen, you know, on the internet, people will actually have photocopies or, you know, of their notarized statements or awards or checkbooks.
Sure.
Right. And, you know, there's warranties, there's guarantees, product demonstrations, all sorts of things, exact measurements and statistics work. There's all sorts of things that you try to incorporate either in the USP or your marketing in general that gives credibility. If you don't have this credibility factor in there, try to work it in there in some sort of way, psychological or not psychological. You know, it can be overt or not overt. For instance, when we say De Beers always uses for diamonds,
diamonds are forever?
Yeah, diamonds are forever. There you go. The connotation is, well, you're thinking, yeah, diamonds is the hardest substance on earth. You're thinking love. You want it to last forever. There's sort of this connotation that there's the credibility that, yeah, diamonds are the hardest substance on earth. They'll last forever. Ergo, my love will last forever.
Right.
You see, they didn't come out directly with it, but they came out with it in some sort of psychological under niche.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't realize that this is a key factor to the USP that most people don't even bother, you know, to work into it. However, you know, it's very easy to work into it if you just say guaranteed. Guaranteed 30 days or less, then people say, okay, there's a guarantee, I believe it.
Okay, you have here, USP must be compelling enough to get people to act. Can we fit something in a short USP to get people to act? What do you mean by that?
Well, it's once again, is if you're targeted to a certain market segment or a certain a niche of the market, there's a certain thing that they want. The promise has to be something that they want. Now, generally, you're not going to necessarily drum up, for instance, pizza, the idea of, oh, I got to buy pizza tonight. But when they want pizza, you want them to remember you. And you basically, it's like Ross Reed says, you want that USP to move the people to buy you. But it's not, you want them to generate the desire. It's when they have the desire for the product, you want them to think of you. So when that necessarily, when that desire arrives for the particular need for your product, for instance, a pain reliever, a headache medicine, you want them to think of you first. And so you want that USP to be compelling enough or attractive enough that it moves them to buy your brand. Not, you know, it would be great if you could put two together where you actually are inciting desire, but the actual meaning of this is basically when they have the desire, you want them to have your USP attractive enough that they are attracted to fulfilling their need or their desire through your particular product. For instance, Ross Reed's always, he created the one for Anacin. I remember, you and I are old enough, Mike, we know, we remember Anacin, the pain reliever that doctors recommend most.
Right.
Well, if you have a headache, you're thinking, gosh, which one do I buy? And then you would think, okay, the one doctors would recommend.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to help me fulfill my desire.
Yeah, and that's got the credibility built right in.
Exactly. It's got the credibility built right in, and you're like, well, I want one that really, really works. so, you know, that's going to move me, this one, because the doctors are recommending this one most.
This next one the HMA consultants can relate to, because this is actually the second step of the system, and that's integrating the USP. Your USP should penetrate all aspects of your business. Is that the same thing as integrating your USP into your business? And
yeah, you know, a lot of people don't focus on this. This is one of the big things that I focus on in my own particular USP manual, is the fact that most people think you can create a USP and it just sits there, and the actual reality of your business can be divorced from the words of the USP. But actually, let's say your USP involves speedy service. You better organize your firm that you're going to give speedy service. So you better organize internally the management of your firm, your trucks, everything, such that you can really satisfy and deliver on that USP. So, for instance, when I'm in China, I was dealing with a factory, and we were producing chemicals, and we were looking at how we wanted to create, you know, more speedy delivery, and we wanted more quality in terms of the packaging. And what we had to do is we had to basically then, in order to do more speedy service, we had to have more inventory, and not only that, but we had to go to two shifts instead of one shift. Okay, in terms of production. So that idea of the USP is we're going to promise you speedier delivery. Now you have to go back to your firm, and you have to make sure that your firm is organized in such a way to deliver on that USP. Your USP should be in the color of the uniforms people wear. You know, your office, what it looks like. For instance, if you're a doctor, if you're consulting with doctors, and this is a really big problem with a lot of doctors or even nutritionists, and you walk in the office and it looks terrible, looks ugly, the connotations in people's mind right away is this guy can't help me with health care because he's unhygienic if he's this messy. So people walk out. So the idea of no matter what you're saying for the USP, it has to penetrate the business in all sorts of aspects.
Okay, let's do one more. If your USP isn't economically feasible, then look again.
Product life cycles now are extremely short. It used to be, oh, you know, a product could last 5 years, 8 years, then it shot down to 2 years. Now with the Internet, there's some products, especially in the high-tech industry, the life cycle is just several months, 3, 6 months, 8 months. And, you know, if you're going to create a whole business around a product that has such a short life cycle like that, you might be in trouble. So what you want is you want a USP for a particular product or service that's going to, you know, the business itself has to be able to last long enough, and the USP has to last long enough because you're going to be promoting it everywhere. You don't want the whole market's buying criteria to be shifted underneath you because all the money you spend and invest in advertising and promoting your USP will then go, you know, under the water. It'll be useless, flushed down the drain if the whole criteria changes. So you want the USP has to be an economically feasible USP that you can recover all the costs of marketing it and promoting it.
Okay, great. Now let's get to the juicy stuff. My HMA guys want to know the easiest ways, and they want methods, how to develop and create a million-dollar USP packed with emotional voltage. Can we go through some of these methods, starting with the Roy Williams competitive comparisons?
Let's give you a couple of the really, really easy or important ones. You know, Roy Williams is the Secrets of Ads marketing consultant. And if anybody really has to do radio advertising, go right away and go check, you know, the Secret of Ads. But here's what he suggests is the way to create a USP. First thing you do is you write down every reason a customer may have for buying from you. Every reason. Next, because you want to be different from your competitors, you cross out everything on that list that's true of your competitors. That's how you get rid of what isn't unique about your business.
Okay.
Because remember, your USP has to be your unique selling proposition. And then the few things that are left on your list are the core of your USP. They're your differential advantage. They're what makes you unique. They're your competitive advantage. They're the reason customers come to you. Because all the other things are common with everybody else. They're me too. Everybody else is doing them. You are not necessarily any better than anybody else. Why they come to you is because of why you're different. So what you should do is now you have that list, go through the list, prioritize those reasons as to what are the most important ones from your customers, and, you know, ask your customers. Don't do it based on what you think. ask them, you'll be surprised, and then decide on the one or two benefits that become the core of your USP. Don't focus on more than two. Research has shown that if you try to stack a USP with three, four, five benefits, it doesn't work. Just one or two. One is best. Two at most. But when you get to three or four, it's too much for people.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So, you know, you can write down 5, 10, 20 reasons why you should be the only logical product or service supplier of choice for any prospect, okay, and get rid of those benefits that aren't unique and make what's left the basis of your USP. That's the Roy Williams idea of competitive comparisons.
Bill, let's go to method number 10, preemptive marketing. It says once you've got it, flaunt it, use it everywhere. Can you give a brief description of what preemptive marketing is and how we can integrate this as a method to develop a USP?
Well, preemptive marketing is something that was first invented by Claude Hopkins, all right? And what a lot of people don't know is Jay Abraham, who's a very, very, very famous marketing consultant, read the books by Claude Hopkins, 80, 90, 100 times, and he's Claude Hopkins incarnate, and he's always talking about preemptive marketing. Basically, preemptive marketing is the following. Let's say you have a business, and you basically are the same as everybody else. There really is no difference between you and everybody else. How do you make your business stand out? Well, one way that Claude Hopkins found out is by telling the story behind your business. Being the first one in your business or your niche or your industry to promote a particular benefit that everybody else provides, you know, but because everybody else provides it, nobody bothers to promote it, all right? So if you're the first one to tell that particular story, then you can grab market share. And Claude Hopkins did this with Schlitz Beer years ago. He was touring, he was trying to help Schlitz Beer increase their sales, and they gave him a tour of the plant. And they were showing him the steam clean bottles, the 5,000 foot deep artesian wells that they dug for, you know, clean water. And Claude Hopkins was amazed at all this. And he said, why don't you tell the people this? And he said, well, everybody does this. And he said, yeah, but nobody knows this. You're the only one. You know, if you tell people, they'll all come to you. So Schlitz Beer basically started a campaign. And you can find this in a book, Mike, that you and I worked on,
mm-hmm. The
Claude Hopkins Advertising Manual, where you went back and you found all the original Claude Hopkins ads that show this. And it's amazing for Schlitz Beer and Van Camp's Pork and Beans and many, many, many other advertisers, where Claude Hopkins would go in and he would actually tell the story about how the product was made. And because he did this for Schlitz Beer, even though everybody else produce beer in the same way, because Schlitz was the first, nobody dared to say, me too, we also do that, because then they would look like they're a second-rate beer company. So in preemptive marketing, that's what you do. You be the first one in your niche to explain actually how everything's done. And then here's a little secret you should tell your marketing consultants, Mike, that's worth just the value of listening to this, you know, this interview right now. Two other ways you can do this with preemptive consulting. Number one is you can change the name of a business so it has some type of preemptive marketing advantage. So that, you know, if we're talking about dry cleaners, you can say Speedy Dry Cleaners, you can put Speedy in there because that will subconsciously connect, oh, fast. Or one for, you know, two for one dry cleaners, where all of a sudden, you know, you've advertised something in your USP in the name of the company that nobody else is doing, even though everybody else in the city might be doing two for one.
That's a great idea because the name of your business is already integrated all through your business anyway.
Right. So that's number one for a method for preemptive marketing that most people don't think about.
I like that.
And that's very easy to do actually on websites now. You know, a lot of people don't want to take the time to change the name of the business that they're running, but they can do that with the websites and set up an entirely separate website for a company that's actually you in terms of fulfillment. The second thing is, whenever somebody comes to you and say, well, you're the same as everybody else, what in the world, why should I buy from you? You say the following. You say, you get one more thing in this deal that you're not going to get from somebody else. You're going to get me. I will personally look after your account, your items, your problem. If you have any problems, you get me. That's what you get with this deal that you don't get with anybody else.
I like that. I say that to a lot of my customers.
And how does it work for you?
It works. I say, you know, what are you going to get with me? You get me and my experience and my expertise and my return of your emails very quickly and phone calls. I do it. I've done it to some of the consultants who are probably listening to this right now.
And people want that one-on-one. They want that connection with somebody who they know is going to look out for their best interests, who's going to hold their hands and help. I mean, that's why I don't care. I'll tell you everything about USPs, because the job is to help people. But people want that connection.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't buy that if it's just something that, you know, is a service that they're buying through the Internet or whatever. If you're trying to sell personal service, you say, you also get me. And that's all, you know, that's sometimes all that the consultant needed to know, needed to hear is that, oh, you also add that one sentence to your own marketing process, and you can help win the sale that way.
What is one of your favorite ways for my consultants to come up with and establish a powerful USP?
Well, let me give you two or three. It's no problem.
Okay.
All right, let me go through number one. It's very simple. Is sometimes you're stumped. So the Gary Halbert method is you just basically list all the benefits that you possibly can offer from a business on index cards, and you just keep shuffling them over and over and over again, mm-hmm. and sorting them until the best benefits come to the top. And that becomes the basis of a USP.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Now, that's what a lot of people do when they're writing, for instance, copy for direct mail pieces. But the one that I like the most is, you know, Dan Kennedy, who came up with this. If you can answer this question, you've got the beginning basis of a USP.
Mm-hmm.
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Why should I do business with you above any and all other options available to me, including doing nothing or whatever I'm doing now? In other words, why should I choose your business, your product, or a service versus any and every other competitive option available to me?
Mm-hmm.
And if you can answer that, you're telling them why you're different, you're telling them the promise you're making, you're going to tell them how you're going to go about it differently, you're going to tell them about guarantees and all sorts of things. If you answer that question, you've got the basis of the USP.
Mm-hmm.
So what you do is you just go to the client and you say, well, why should I choose your business versus any and every other available option? So when the customer answers that, you've got the basis of the USP. And then that will lead in, here's another way they could get the USP, that based on that answer, you can answer this question. For instance, let's say you go to a clothing store owner and you ask that question. They'll say, well, you know, we're giving you a 30-day, you know, money-back guarantee. And you have to say, well, why is it important? Well, the other stores in the area don't do that, and they don't have half the selection. So what you can do is you can also go about getting a USP from answering the following question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how, and then you state the pain or problem your prospect has. You know how when you buy clothes from a clothing store and you want to return them, they only let you have 2-week trying period?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Well, what I do is, and then you just state the solution to your product. So if you can bring up the biggest problem or frustration or pain that your customer or prospect has, and then you fill it in, you fill in the sense, well, what I do is, which explains how you're different and how you solve the problem, that's another way to get at the USP.
Okay, great. So we've discussed how to do it. Now, I want to get back to the importance, in your opinion, when you're developing USPs for clients, how important is the research phase? Do you also go directly to the customers to get the true feeling of the, you know, marketplace? How does research come into play with your efforts in creating a USP, or does it?
You know, sometimes it's necessary and sometimes it isn't. Usually, if you just go through, you know, the five or, you know, like for instance, there's 10 methods that I always use for creating a USP, but usually I only focus on three.
Mm-hmm.
A person who's been running their business for a while, it's different from somebody who's just trying to start a business.
Sure.
And if you ask them why they come to them versus somebody else, and you ask these questions in the right way, they'll tell you why.
They know
the answer.
Yeah.
However, so you can usually come up with a USP in an hour or so, believe it or not. Then the problem is to refine it in a very good way, to buff it up, to make it even juicier. Can we add a guarantee? How can we change the wording? How can we turn this into one sentence or two sentences versus 30? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the first thing is just basically asking them, and they usually know, but they never thought about it. And then what you do is you take it and you refine it. You make it juicier. You make it more attractive. You know, but they usually know that. Now, if it's sometimes, you know, the company owner hasn't a clue why people are buying from him.
Mm-hmm.
And what you do is, and you might have to just stand there and you might ask, well, why do you come here? You ask the customers, why do you come here? You know, versus, you know, going to another store.
Mm-hmm.
But what you want to do is you want them to collect that information because you want them to have the epiphany.
Right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Because you want them to realize how important this information is. And you tell them the following. You say, look, what you really want is you want more of your best customers. So try to find your best customers if you can. Give them a phone call, or if they come into the store or what have you, and ask them, say, look, you know, I really want to improve my business. I want to know, you know, honestly, why do you come to me versus somebody else? Because you're trying to find out why the best, your best customers come to you, and then you're, what you're going to try to do is use that information to design a USP to get more like them. If you just ask the general people in general, you'll just get more general volume traffic, but not necessarily more of the cream of the crop, best customers that you really like.
Mm-hmm. Give me some examples, a couple that just really stick out in your mind about great, great, knock-em-dead USPs. We've talked about Domino's and we've talked about Federal Express. Any other ones that you really like?
Well, you know, actually, the people that you're talking about are marketing experts. You know, it's great to actually review some of the marketing expert USPs.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. I mean, let's take a look at Dan Kennedy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Dan Kennedy pointed out you should be able to recite this on a plane in 30 seconds or less. It's sort of like a, you know, elevator speech. And if somebody goes, huh, really? Then bingo, you got them. That's the basis of a USP. Dan Kennedy used to say, and he's changed over years, is I devise direct marketing strategies for all types and sizes of businesses that eliminate all the fat and waste from their advertising and increase the productivity of their salespeople by at least 1,000% guaranteed. Now, if you sit next to him on a plane and you have a problem, aren't you going to go, how do you do that? If you can get people to say, how do you do that, you won.
I was doing telemarketing, doing cold calling as a training for the consultants, and I had a very quick one. I just said, my name is Michael Sinoff. I'm a marketing consultant here in San Diego, and I've got two ideas that I think can increase your business 30 to 100% in the next 60 days without you having to spend a dime on advertising.
Bingo.
And it just worked like a charm, you know?
And that type of thing where you say it's not going to spend a dime on advertising really gets them.
That's it, because all these business owners are used to seeing is the newspaper coming in, selling them more advertising, the magazine advertising, and they know they don't know the results, and they don't, you know, that is the key thing, without spending more money on advertising.
You know, I like a USP by this marketing consultant called Glenn Osborne, and he's sort of an NLP expert. He has a very simple one. He says, what I do is double your sales and cut your work hours by 30% guaranteed, and it only takes between 60 and 90 minutes on the phone.
I like that. That's great.
Yeah, who can resist that one?
Say it again.
He says, what I do is double your sales and cut your work hours by 30% guaranteed, and it only takes between 60 and 90 minutes on the phone.
That is great, because we have an opportunity analysis. The whole idea is to get in front of that client and really get into their business, and that would be a great USP for setting that up.
Yeah, and the neat thing is what he does is he gets most of his clients to read the book, The 80-20 Principle, and that's a method that just teaches them, hey, look, focus on the 20% that gets 80% of the results. Stop focusing on the 80% that gets the 20%. And, you know, and that cuts the work hours by 30%. A lot of people have never seen that.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, you know, taking that one principle and you teach it to marketing consultants, and you go to a company, you say, now, where are your accounts? Where are your most active and inactive, your biggest volume or whatever? And then they start focusing on the top 20%, the sales go up. Stop focusing on the bottom 80.
That's right. Any other ones you can think of business-related?
You know, I like Alex Mandozi, and Alex is a very big internet marketing guy.
Mm-hmm.
He used to work in the advertising field, and then he got out and he said, gosh, what niche should I get into? And he said, well, how about postcard marketing? And I'm sure you've heard of him.
Sure.
And now he's doing internet stuff because he's making, you know, lots of money on the internet, more than you know, than marketing with postcards, though I haven't talked to him about it. But here's the USP for that was, I consult my personal clients on how to make postcards their number one marketing weapon to build their businesses, even during economic slumps, downswings, or full-scale recessions.
I like that.
Yeah, because what it's doing is you go to them when you want postcard marketing, and you then realize, gosh, this guy's going to help me. He's probably an expert at it. And you usually go to postcard marketing because it's cheaper during a period when the economics aren't that good.
Great.
So he's got all the avenues covered in his USP. You see how there's some psychology in it?
Mm-hmm.
So this is why you're promising them a big benefit, and you're saying how you're different from other people, but there's this psychology in it, and there's this credibility factor in it. People say guaranteed, or they have, you know, some honey, some attractiveness in it, in terms of, you know, for instance, you were talking about, you know, no price, no cost, or time-wise, you know, Glenn was saying between 60 and 90 minutes,
mm-hmm.
or Alex is talking about the time period, economic slumps, downswings, or full-scale recessions. Whatever it is, the sweet spot or hot spot, you're trying to target all that. Not everybody, not everything, just what's going to be a really good sweet spot, and then conquer and capture that particular niche. You know, there's all sorts of other, you know, USPs out there for products, too, you know, or services like Enterprise. The car company says, pick Enterprise, we'll pick you up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they're different from Hertz or Avis. They differentiated themselves by saying, we'll pick you up. Avis always said, we're number two, so we try harder. It was incredibly logical, so the credibility factor was in there. You're thinking, yeah, try Avis, we're number two, so we work harder, right? So there's the credibility factor actually was the thing that catapulted that particular USP.
All right, now look, we've listened to a lot of ideas on how to do it. We've talked about characteristics of a powerful USP. Now really, is this USP that big of a deal? Can it really make a dramatic difference in a business?
This is the number one most important thing before you do anything else with the marketing consultancy. You get them to sit down and you figure out what in the world these guys stand for. Because if they can't differentiate themselves, if they don't have a reason they're different, then you can't get the sales scripting, you can't get the copywriting, you can't go to the media cross-promoting, community marketing, because nobody knows why you're different, why you. So the very first thing, and whether you hear it from me or Jay Abraham or Dan Kenny or anybody else, the very first thing you do is you have to say, what's your business stand for? And that's the USP. And that's the basis around, you know, all the marketing efforts. So you've got to get that defined first.
How many businesses even know about this stuff? What do you think?
Very few. You know, most businesses, they just start operating and they never really give too much thought to it. A lot of times, you know, as the firms get bigger, they start thinking in terms of, you know, how do we compete with our competitors, but they don't go through the process of, let's really define it. And when you really define it, going through the steps, you know, like going through the 10 dimensions I've come up with, or the 10 different exercises that help you come up with a USP, if you go through that, you sometimes find some way to razor or laser focus it, and then amplify it, that really, really magnifies the results, simply because you were just sloppy about telling customers what you stood for. They might already know, but all of a sudden, if you tell them in the way that's most attractive to them, not only will your loyal customers become even more loyal, but people who are on the side start getting drawn to you like a magnet. But a lot of people, they just never think about it. They just sell without thinking about what do they stand for. But you really, really have to start thinking about, you know, psychology as well as the mathematics when you're getting into the marketing arena. And coming up with a USP, what it is that appeals to them, that's the psychological promise or benefit or hot button. How you say it is a lot of behavioral psychology, too. And then, you know, the rest is there's all sorts of marketing weapons for how you reach them with it, cross-promotions and sales, scripting and copywriting. But, you know, this is really the key. What's your business stand for? What's its purpose? In fact, if you ask some people, it's another way to come up with your USP. Why did you start this business?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people will give you the story. Well, I started this business because I couldn't find, you know, a hairdresser that would do purple hair. So I wanted to, you know, do that. So then, you know, the USP becomes get any color hair you want any time of day or night, 24 hours. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's great. That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, you ask them what was your reason. Now, that's not, you know, the case for a lot of businesses because they just started because they just started, but usually if they start to fulfill a niche, it's because they saw that there was a need, and that need that they wanted to fulfill, if you can unearth it through that particular exercise or sentence, is the basis of the USP. Now all you have to do is bring it to the forefront, amplify it, make it more attractive, say it in a way that really strikes home. And you know, and a perfect example is people all the time in the mail, they get direct mail pieces. Let's say it's for prostate medicine. I'm a guy. I'm in my 40s. And I'm constantly, because I'm on mailing lists, getting, you know, prostate medicine or prostate formula direct mail pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And the headlines for each of them, I love studying them, are totally different but they're all geared to try to appeal to something that will really make me say, yeah, I want to try this.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So even though there might be 10 different companies trying to sell a prostate formula, the way you, it's basically, and when you look at the ingredients, it's really basically the same formula.
Mm-hmm.
But when you read the headlines or their big promise, how they word it is entirely different. And that's what's going to increase sales for one company versus another, even though it's exactly the same product.
So a lot of what we're talking about is it goes right along with developing a headline for an advertisement.
Absolutely. And that's why what I did was I went in and I, in my particular manner, I'm not trying to push it, but I go into a lot of copywriting secrets because you have to know this. It's basically find out what the USP is and then say it in the most attractive way.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I mean, for the headline, for instance, for an ad, it's basically, well, what's the USP for the ad? What's going to get you to keep reading the ad?
All right.
What's going to get you sucked in the ad to get you to read the first sentence and then the second and the third and the fourth?
Hey, and there's another great way to find USPs. Look at and model good advertisements, and usually if it's a good advertisement, and it's that headline could be perfect for generating USP ideas.
That's what I do all the time. You know, and another good idea is, let's say you have a USP on a product or service for which many books are written. Go read Amazon.com reviews.
Absolutely.
Of a particular book, and you're going to see certain phrases that people will come up with that are fantastic, killer phrases that you can use for crafting USPs, or you can use to craft copywriting, pieces of marketing literature. It's so important. It's all, you know, marketing is half mathematics and half customer psychology or behavioral psychology.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to, you know, it's the same product, but you have to present it in a way that's most attractive to people or reformulate it. You bundle it, you make it bigger, you change the price, something that hits the sweet spot that really, really is what people want. It's not a matter of me pushing the product. It's giving the customers what they want. And finding that out, you know, that's an art. You can find the basic information, but to mesh it, to put it in the right format, whether it's a USP or copywriting title or headline or what have you, that takes the work. You know, that's where the work or the genius comes in.
Great. Bill, you've offered a lot of great advice, and you've brought me a lot more clarity on the subject as well. So for people who are interested in getting this manual, where are they going to go and how do they get it? Tell me specifically.
Oh, it's real simple. They can go to USPNicheMarketing.com, and USPNicheMarketing.com actually goes through many, it actually teaches you how to write some of the USPs. It gives, some of this information we just went over is right in there, right on the sales letter page. And if they, you know, if they're interested, fine, and you know, it's all there for them. But also, you know, you don't have to buy my particular manual. I tell you the two manuals people should pick up if they really want to understand USP, or the two books are Rees and Strauss's book on positioning. If you're a marketing consultant, you've got to pick that up.
How do you spell the last name?
R-I-E-S and Trout. T-R-O-U-T,
mm-hmm.
And they produce a number of marketing works over the years, like Marketing Warfare. Wonderful books. You can get them on Amazon.com. They're all about $9, $10.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other book that a lot of people don't know about, it's sort of an underground classic, and this is for basically new products. It's called Jumpstart Your Business Brain, mm-hmm. by Doug Hall.
Mm-hmm.
But this book, Jumpstart Your Business Brain, not just the fact that it's new products or services, but actually the idea of creating a new product or service is the idea of unearthing a USP that people want and then seeing if it will fly.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you can get a lot of useful information out of that particular book. It's probably the best, one of the best top 10 marketing books that's come out in the last 20 years.
Well, I appreciate it. You've really helped these consultants out and helped me out. Thank you very much. It's Michael with Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com and another bonus tip. How would you like to turn your $28 book or ebook or even a concept in your head into a $3,900 information product? I'll provide you the secrets on how to do this. If you'd like a completely free 30-day trial of my system for turning your simple book or even just a concept in your mind into an information product that you can sell for $97, $197, or even as much as $3,900 or more. This system includes a whole range of tricks and tips to help you pack your audio program full of great stories that take control of your listeners' brains. My information product creation system comes with my personal guarantee that you'll create an information product worth from $97 to $497 that's designed to sell like hotcakes. This is a 30-day free trial. If you'd like information on this, please email me at michael@hardtofindseminars.com. In the subject line, write in all caps, $28 book, and I'll email you information on how to turn your $28 book or even a concept in your mind into a $3,900 information product. Hi, this is Michael Senoff with Michael Senoff, hardtofindseminars.com. Here is another bonus tip and a valuable service that I offer to select clients. If you can talk into an ordinary telephone, you can be selling your own high-priced audio programs in as little as 7 days. This is the easiest way on earth to create a series of powerful audio recordings for your own information product. I call you on an ordinary telephone and interview you live on a series of related hot topics about your niche subject. I take care of all the editing, all the technical stuff, and I give you the finished MP3s or WAV files and audio transcripts. I only have time to give this deluxe personalized service to a few more carefully selected clients. If you're interested in developing and creating your own valuable information products that you could have complete in as short as 7 days and be selling for as high as $300, $500, even $3,900, please contact me at michael@hardtofindseminars.com. In the subject line of your email, please write info product information in all capital. Make sure I have your name and a way to contact you by phone, and we can talk about your specific ideas. Or you may call me at 858-274-7851. Hi, it's Michael Senoff here with another bonus tip from Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. It's called an audio infomercial. Your audio infomercial, which I create for you, will sell more products of yours faster, easier, and for less cost than any conventional advertising method, and I guarantee it 100%. Imagine catching yourself at concert pitch talking about what makes your business or your product service unique, what makes it special. Imagine taking a professional recording of that perfect sales presentation that I create for you and giving it to your prospect as an audio CD or an internet download from your website. I can do this for you faster than you ever thought possible with my personalized audio informational recording service. If you're interested in this unique service, please contact me at michael@hardtofindseminars.com. In the subject line of your email, in all capitals, write audio infomercial, and I will get back with you with more information.